of God, if the devil came between you, your husband, your boyfriend in an ungodly matter, I pray him back. Just try God through me. I double D triple dare you. I want just three more of you to call me this morning. Three more of you today that is tired of robbing Peter, trying to pay Paul. Three more of you that want to get debt free in the name of Jesus. Three more of you. The number you're calling me right now, if the line is busy, go to the answering service and I'm going to call you back personally. The number is 1-800-399-7353. You call me right now. 1-800-399-7353. My one day, one way prayer. Those of you that want to hit in life and hit big. Those of you that want to hit and hit big in life. Want God to bless you. Tired of missing out on your blessing. Tired of being one on and one off of your deliverance. I am the real McCoy. If you need a spiritual reading, a spiritual checkup from the neck up, and need God to bless you, you call me. The number right now is 1-800-399-7353. You ought to get up. I want three more of you to call me. That's 1-800-399-7353. I got a blessing today that's going to fall straight in your hands instead of slipping through your fingers. 1-800-399-7353. Let me sing another song from my CD while you're calling. Three more of you that need help on today. I double D triple dare you to try God through me. If the line is busy, I wouldn't stop until I get my call through. Tell that devil these words. Bishop Uriah said, if you can't help me, please don't stop me. My before Easter special blessing. This is a pre-recorded broadcast, and I'm praying for you, you and even you. 1-800-399-7353. Or you call me, 678-962-3036. That's 678-962-3036. My one day, one way blessing from sweet Jesus. That's 678-962-3036. Call me right now. The number, toll free, worldwide. This is the worldwide blessing ministry. That's 1-800-399-7353. There's no problem too small. There's none too large for the God I serve. The number you're calling right now, you dial 1-800-399-7353. I got a blessing that I'm guaranteeing straight from God to help God's children. That's 1-800-399-7353. If you want to hit and hit big, that's 1-800-399-7353. I see the clock on the wall. It's time for me to leave you. Until next time, God bless you. God keep you, is my prayer.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus. Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
6:6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto us all good things. I present to you our pastor, our Bible teacher for tonight, Pastor Montgomery. Come on and put those hands together. Receive.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this blessed opportunity to hear your word. Meet us in the text and in this place. Minister your word to us that we will hear and heed what you have to say. We ask that you would move and minister through the word and bless your people. We ask this blessing in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Well, come on, give God a hand of praise as you're seated in his presence. Amen, amen. As we want to continue to understand the wisdom of God, which God has given to us through his word, the Bible is the divinely written, inspired word of God or mind of God. And we get insight into what God truly desires us to know and to be as it is according to his word. What is so important is that we have got to continue to learn how to make important or to make major in our lives what God considers major and minor what God considers minor. We've got to continue to learn that our focus should be on what God's focus is in order for us to have the kind of successful life and be the kind of witness in the earth realm that he wants from us. One of the benefits of wisdom is the ability to use God's word to navigate through this world. Listen to me well. If we understand Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Then we will understand that our wisdom is akin to our God knowledge or the Word of God. If the Word of God is our revealed wisdom, then that means the more of God's word you have, the more wisdom you have at hand. Now, the whole purpose for wisdom is that you might apply it. Apply it. Wisdom's purpose is so that you can be perfected in the things that God has for your life. Again, if you understand this, then this is another way of saying it. One of the benefits of God's wisdom is to take his word and navigate through not only this, take the T off this, and you have his world. His word will help you navigate through this world, his world. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. This word is so important that you, my brother, my sister, need to have an intricate, intimate insight to make life everything God wants you to know and to be. Last week we talked about Matthew 7:7, ask, seek, knock. And one of the scripture references we referenced was 1 Kings 3. And verse 10 of 1 Kings 3 makes clear that it pleased the Lord, the speech of Solomon pleased the Lord that he had asked this thing. Well, the question becomes, if the speech pleased the Lord, what was in the speech? Because my concern is, I want to know what pleases the Lord. Well, one of the things Hebrews 11:6 tells me is without faith, it's impossible to please him. So I know what doesn't please him, but I also want to know what does please him. And so it pleased the Lord, listen, that Solomon asked this thing in particular. So what we do is we go back in scripture and we find out what's going on. Turn to the 5th verse, 1 Kings 3. Reader, read. Verse 5.
1 Kings 3:5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee.
All right, keep verse 6.
And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he has walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day.
Okay. Now let me just say this right quick. God asks Solomon, what does he want him to do for him? One of the first things, if you will note, that Solomon does is he puts God in remembrance of his relationship with his father. He tells him that he has shown his father great mercy and kindness. Now, why is that important? Because what he wants to do is establish, he understands that in order to be successful with God, you have to have relationship. Okay, so he established the relationship that God has with his father, showing him great mercy and kindness. Now, David was a great man, but David wasn't a perfect man. David was not without sin. David was not without faults. David was not without shortcomings. He's a man that shed much blood. He was a man that committed adultery. He was a man that had a man killed for his wife, murdered. On and on. David was not perfect, but David was a man after God's own heart. And because he desired to have the right relationship with God, to be the man God wanted him to be, God considered all of that and had great mercy on him. And you know what mercy is for, don't you? It's for your mess ups, your mistakes. It's for the things that are done out of the will and the way of God. And so God had great mercy upon him because he knew the great love and desire of David's heart to know God. And so he brings God back into remembrance of his relationship with God and what God had done for his father. But he also brings God back into remembrance of his walk, David's walk before God. He walked before God in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart. Now that's important because what you see is David making every effort to be right. He just wanted to be right. He wanted to do right. And I don't care how holy you are, you're going to go through a little hell here. You're going to miss it sometime. You're going to fall sometime. Things are not going to be right always, but God knows your heart. And so he was making clear that David's walk was something that also pleased the Lord, because his desire was to be what God wanted him to be. Verse 7.
Verse 7. Mm-hmm. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in.
All right, now listen to this. Now, he recognizes now, as he brings God into his understanding, that God has chosen him to sit on the throne. He acknowledges that this thing has happened because of God, the kindness that he's shown to David, his father, but it is God's choosing. Then Solomon says that he is a little child. He knows not how to go in. Now, he's not a little child. If you look at the first few verses of the third chapter, he's taken a wife of Pharaoh's daughter and has aligned himself with an affinity with Egypt to make sure, in a political move, to bring his enemies into alliance with him so that they don't have to war against one another. A political strategy. He is, listen, capable of knowing some of the things that are natural to the rulership of royalty. He grew up as a prince. He was groomed to be king. So that were some things he was taught and he knew about, but he wanted more, listen, than a royal rulership. He wanted a righteous reign. Point number one, a righteous reign more than a royal rulership. So therefore, he says, I'm but a little child. I know not how to go out, to go in or to come out. What was he saying here? He was saying, I am like a little child in this respect of being righteous in my reign. I don't know how it ought to be done, so I need you to show me the way. Like a little child, I'm humbling myself before you, acknowledging that though I've been taught and trained, I want to make sure that my ways pleases you, that I do what pleases you. Verse 8.
Verse 8. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude.
All right, listen. He's acknowledging, God, you have given me this major, massive assignment. In other words, to whom much is given, much is required. One of the things that we must understand, my brothers and sisters, everybody wants a whole lot of this and a whole lot of that, want to be over this and want to be over that. The more you have, the more you're accountable for. The more you're going to have to ask God to guide you in and to make the right decisions to do, because you're going to be responsible and accountable for leading folk right and for leading folk wrong. So it's always your desire to have what God wants you to have, to be what God wants you to be, to do what God wants you to do. Because when you bite off more than you can chew, listen, things don't go well with you. And so you need to understand, I don't want any more than what God wants me to have. Because my anointing is paired with my assignment. If he has anointed me to be the pastor over 10 people, then 100 folk will fail me and I will fail 100 folk, because my anointing is for those 10. And yet, if I understand that, then I'll be careful in how I rule or reign or judge the people of God. Next.
Verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?
Now look at what he's telling the Lord. Give me an understanding heart. What's the purpose for the understanding heart? That he might judge who? God's people. He acknowledges, these are not my people, these are your people. I need to make sure my heart is right to judge your people, to be able to have a righteous reign that pleases you and that benefits the people of God. I've got to have the right kind of heart. But then he asked for something else. He said, and to be able to discern between good and bad. Why? Because as king, life and death, war and peace, major decisions are given to him to decide. He's got to be able to discern spirits, to know if they're good spirits, bad spirits, good people, bad people, good decision, bad decisions. He's got to be able to have the ability to see things and understand things, and that's why he wants God to give him an understanding heart so that he might judge the people, but he also may discern good and bad. Now, that's not only necessary in Solomon's life, that's necessary in our lives. Think about how many bad judgment calls we made in our lives. Think about all of the wrong people we've connected with. How many people have hurt our lives, hindered our lives, some have even ruined part of our lives because we couldn't judge what was good and bad. They talked trash and we believed it was a treasure. Some of the old folk who knew how to judge character and good and bad told you, watch out, that's not the right one. But we say, oh, you don't know. Like I know. No, we didn't have the ability to discern good and bad. Listen, men have the ability to discern, and those especially who have been there. One of the craziest things I've ever heard is for somebody who has missed it or who has fallen or who has been out in the world, have somebody who is not there, have not been there, tell them they can't tell them nothing because they are not perfect. Well, let me ask you a question. Who better can tell you about the world than somebody who's been in the world? You see, it's your exes that can better educate you about stuff. I don't know nothing about drugs. I don't know nothing about drinking. But folk who have been there and have been delivered can tell you about the effects and so forth. They can look at some folk and say, that boy on this, that, and the other. And you're like, how you know? Been there, done that. You know, spiritual things govern, judge spiritual things. When you're spiritual, you can judge the spiritual things. When you're not, you cannot judge spiritual things. You can only judge natural things. And so he asked God, you have to ask God for the ability to discern good and bad. You ain't got time to spend a whole life to find out if somebody's good or bad. How much time have you lost and messed up because you couldn't judge between what was good and what was bad? How many times have you bought a lemon? Because it shined and looked good. Not many months later, you were having issues because you couldn't judge or discern what was good and what was bad. On and on and on. That is something we need today. Verse 9 again.
Verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this by so great a people?
Now listen to this. He asked the question at the end. He said, who's able to judge this thy so great a people without your help? Who can handle what you have put me over without your help? And see, God likes this kind of talk. God said, that boy is something else. If you don't believe it, read 10. Rita.
Verse 10. And the speech pleased the Lord.
Hold it. And the speech. Now let me ask you something. What did God ask him? Verse 5. God said, what you want? He could have said, and understand it not. But he gave God a speech. Stay with me. He gave God a speech. He put God in remembrance of his relationship with his father. He put God in remembrance of what his father walked before God in his integrity, truth, righteousness, and uprightness of heart. He put God on notice that he realized that God in his great kindness had given him this opportunity to serve a people so great they could not be numbered. He put God on notice that he understood that without God's help, he could not be successful. He put God on notice that if he was going to be successful, he needed some help from God, and that required an understanding heart. He said, oh God, and while I'm at it, I need you to help me discern good from bad. And so when he gets through all that, he said, oh yeah, I really do need an understanding heart, if you don't mind, sir. I didn't forget the question. I just wanted to make sure you understood where I was coming from. And the speech pleased the Lord. Listen, that Solomon had asked this thing. Verse 11.
And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment.
Listen at this. From verse 5 through 8, we have him seeking a righteous reign and not just a royal rulership. In verse 9, we have him asking for wisdom more than wealth. Point two, wisdom more than wealth. But verse 10 through 14, we see God showing him the realities of wealth and not the reflection of wealth. The realities of wealth and not the reflection of wealth. Read verse 11 again.
Verse 11. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment.
One of the things that is interesting about this verse is God, in his state of being well pleased, speaks to Solomon about a natural and native desire. One, long life. Two, especially as a king, to be wealthy. Rich, rich, rich. To be rich, to have a rich nation, to accomplish and to make clear of their standing in the world. And thirdly, as a king, he did not ask the life of his enemies. That was usually one of the requests of kings. Because if I get rid of my enemies, then my kingdom is not threatened. if I have no other king trying to come against me, to conquer me, to overtake me and my people, then I can reign in peace. Solomon didn't ask to live long.